I'm Bill Littlefield. The music you're hearing is what the gathered dignitaries in Las Vegas heard this week when they were supposed to be watching a video announcement for the city's new NHL team, the Vegas Golden Knights. In addition to the Bonanza-type music, the screen simply read, "Placeholder, Vegas Hockey." Owner Bill Foley was compelled to think quickly.
We're going to do better than that on the rink, I'll tell you that.
And that is where we will begin this week's three stories you should know. Joining me this time around are Sports on Earth's Will Leach via Skype and the Boston Globe and WBUR, Shira Springer. Welcome back to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes.
As I just mentioned, the NHL team that will play in Las Vegas will be called the Vegas Golden Knights. I was disappointed. I was rooting for the Snake Eyes, but okay. The slot machines would have worked too. Some questions do arise. First, will the arrival of the NHL in Las Vegas turn out to be merely the first part of what will be a three-ring circus in the desert featuring the NBA and, of course, most significantly, the National Football League? And if that does happen, will those expansions or relocations indicate that all three leagues have signed on to the proposition that since gambling on sports is inevitable, they better get a piece of the action? Will, you want to pick up on that?
Placeholder, only a game commentary. Placeholder, only a game commentary. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sorry. Yes. Sports no longer feels obliged to pretend that this isn't a major part of the reason that people watch them. And we can argue whether that's a good thing or whether that's a bad thing. The idea of Vegas having a team, that is now the least of the things that are involved with sports and gambling. So while I agree it seems a little strange, I feel like that ship has sailed.
I am right there with you, Will. That ship has sailed. And as far as this being the start of a three-ring circus with the NBA and the NFL to follow, I think you're exactly right, Bill. Those two other leagues are coming, and probably sooner rather than later. This is sort of, in some ways, a trial balloon, the NHL is, to see how the city responds. They have had a little bit of a trial with the NBA Summer League, but that's 2 weeks in July, which is sort of the dead season for tourism in Las Vegas. The NHL will be during the high season.
I have no personal stake in the relationship between gambling and sports. I gave up betting on games a long time ago because I realized I wasn't any good at it. On principle, I'm against anything that might further enrich the National Football League and render it even more hypocritical than it already is. So I'm going to have to study this issue to find out precisely what my position is. But Will, take us away from all this misery.
I can't guarantee I can do that, but certainly I will talk about Jurgen Klinsmann and the U.S. soccer team. Jurgen Klinsmann was fired as the technical director and coach of the U.S. men's soccer team after a terrible start to the hexagonal round of qualifying for the World Cup in 2018 in Russia. Klinsmann's been the coach for a while, and they did okay at the last World Cup. But one of the major reasons that Klinsmann was brought in the first place was to change the culture of U.S. soccer. Mm-hmm. And one of the major things that Klinsmann has done is gone throughout the youth leagues and tried to de-emphasize the value of the coach. He's trying to say, trust players' instinct. The way that for the U.S. to progress in soccer and to play like the rest of the world in soccer and to value the amount of talent that they do have is to stop trying to coach them all the time in these youth leagues. Let players create. Let players learn. This is a fantastic instinct, not just in soccer, but frankly, in all of youth sports. It is, however, a terrible instinct when you're coaching the U.S. men's soccer team. I think in like 20 years, we will appreciate Jurgen Klinsmann. But I think it was hard to argue that it wasn't the right move, at least for right now.
Will is absolutely right. What Klinsmann did for the development system will pay dividends. However, Klinsmann was unable to solve a problem that has been difficult for those who have preceded him, and that's how to get more soccer players from the inner city. I think U.S. soccer officials are always saying, development-wise, why can't we have kids playing soccer in the streets the way they play basketball? I'm curious to see if they'll be able to solve that riddle down the line with a new coach/technical director.
I wonder if we're not overcomplicating this.
We probably are.
The fate of soccer coaches, it seems to me, is no different from the fate of people who coach in other sports. The best of them do well for a while, and then for whatever constellation of reasons, they lose the team, the players stop paying attention, and the coach gets fired. And it happened to Jurgen Klinsmann. It happened to Bruce Arena as well, who's coming back to coach the U.S. team. And I wish him good luck going forward. I certainly hope he can qualify for the World Cup. Will, you want to wrap this up for us?
I think that's ultimately progress when we are firing coaches at the rate of the rest of the world. America has made it. We've made our step forward.
All right, Shira, we're going to go from international competition between men who sometimes act like teenagers to an actual game played by actual teenagers, right?
Yeah. This week, a football controversy in Illinois caught my attention. Plainfield North High School needed a favorable ruling from a Cook County judge to secure its spot in the Class 7A state title game. Why, you may ask? Well, with no time left in the semifinal between Plainfield North and Fenwick High, an officiating mistake allowed Plainfield North to kick a game-tying field goal. Then, Plainfield North won the game in overtime on a two-point conversion. Now, the Illinois High School Association admitted that the game's officials had made a bad call, and the association's executive director apologized, but Fenwick, of course, wanted more than an apology, and they took the matter to court. The judge rejected Fenwick's legal challenge. And this made me think, you know, bad calls happen all the time in sports, but you can't have parents or coaches or school administrators rushing to the courthouse every time there's a bad call. The court dockets would be overflowing if that was the case. And I think there was a real missed opportunity here to teach the kids some life lessons.
You know, I remember my grandfather was an umpire. He umpired high school games for years and years and years. There was a really close play at home plate. And he called the man safe. And the catcher ran up to him. He says, no, he wasn't. He was out. And my grandfather said, no, he's safe because I said he was safe and I am the umpire. And we feel as if when we are watching these games, we can find some sort of objective truth, whether it's replay or whether it's we get to super slow-mo or there's a booth in New York that can tell us what the right call actually was. This is what happens when you undermine, a lot of times with good reason and with good thought, undermine the idea of there is an overriding authority on the field, and that person is the umpire and the referee. Sometimes they are wrong, but that does not matter because there has to be an authority on the field.
The players on both sides of this issue should be told to go study for their final exams, and the parents should all be told to get lives which are not so dependent on whether their kids' football teams win or lose.
Agreed.
It's ridiculous.
Agreed.
My guests for this week's three stories you should know have been Sports on Earth's Will Leach and WBUR and the Boston Globe, Shira Springer. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.